And I want to know, how can you take care of the foundational priorities before you get too excited about digital transformation?
That's a great question, and yeah, we should take a step backward and spend some time thinking about that. Foundations are obviously important to any structure, and they certainly are to a digital enterprise. And digital maturity is needs to be built on a sound foundation. So it'll make a lot of sense to spend a little time today talking about what those foundational elements are. So we've talked about the rubric we use for digital maturity around tech, data, people, and processes, but there are some fundamental kind of pieces that people should think about getting right before they think about just introducing wholesale change into their organization. That if you don't have right, you're going to end up with your sort of typical, to use a cliche, right, garbage in, kind of garbage out scenario, right?
Get ready to deep dive into the world of digital transformation, where we explore the latest trends, innovations, and challenges shaking up industries. Join us as we decode the secrets behind successful digital strategies and hear from experts who are at the forefront of disrupting the status quo. In each episode, we'll unravel the mysteries of the digital realm and uncover the hidden opportunities that lie within. From artificial intelligence to blockchain, from automation to cybersecurity, we'll leave no digital stone unturned. But hold on tight, because this podcast isn't your average tech talk. We're injecting a hefty dose of wit and humor into every episode, making learning about digital transformation an absolute blast. So if you're ready to embrace the digital revolution
Hello.
With a
Good
smile
morning.
On your face,
How are you doing,
tune in
Patrick?
to the Digital Disruption Podcast.
Hi,
and get
Dylan.
ready
Good
to be
evening.
entertained,
I'm doing well. How are you
informed,
doing?
and inspired.
Cold here in Montana.
Don't, don't miss
cold,
out on the
but
fun.
you know,
Subscribe now
I
and
mean,
join
it's
us on this
cold.
wild digital journey.
I mean, it's
What's
winter.
cold, though? What's cold by you?
20 Celsius? I'm not sure how many Fahrenheit is that.
Oh boy, that's about 60, maybe something like that, 50 or 60. So we're in the low 30s Fahrenheit here, so it's chilly.
It's about 70.
Oh,
Yeah,
about 70. Okay, so very
68.
comfortable. Yeah,
68 is cool.
I wouldn't even need a jacket by you.
I need a jacket. But so I want to ask you something. So we've been recording this podcast for a while now, and we did cover some topics that are foundational in bases, like what is digital transformation and what is digital maturity and how, what frames do we work? And I feel like we might have skipped a piece of information that helps tie the more advanced topics that we've targeted or like talked about in later on episodes and our first two couple of episodes. So I want to ask you this. I wanna know how, as a CMO, and this is for our audience that who are CMOs, VPs of digital, and people who are in the digital positions and leadership positions that are thinking about digital transformation but haven't really finalized their view on things. So I wanna give this question for them, and I wanna know, how can you take care of the foundational priorities before you get too excited about digital transformation?
That's a great question, and yeah, we should take a step backward and spend some time thinking about that. Foundations are obviously important to any structure, and they certainly are to a digital enterprise. And digital maturity is needs to be built on a sound foundation. So it'll make a lot of sense to spend a little time today talking about what those foundational elements are. So we've talked about the rubric we use for digital maturity around tech, data, people, and processes, but there are some fundamental kind of pieces that people should think about getting right before they think about just introducing wholesale change into their organization. That if you don't have right, you're going to end up with your sort of typical, to use a cliche, right, garbage in, kind of garbage out scenario, right? So you can have really expensive technology and data infrastructure, but if that data is collected inconsistently, not comprehensively, and in unsystematic ways, then you just have bad data in more sophisticated systems. But it is equally frustrating. Let's say bad data is equally frustrating in a CRM or CDP or data warehouse as it is directly within a media platform or within a free Google Analytics account. Bad data is bad data in all of those systems, and it's really expensive and time consuming to fix, right? And make usable. So now I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. So let's take a step back. Let's talk about all those details, right? But those fundamentals are really important. So at the level of measurement, having a clear, centralized, mutually agreed upon and collaborative charter that we might call, many organizations would call measurement framework. That measurement framework is going to include things like a shared understanding of the key data your organization uses. So a data dictionary, KPI matrix. So you are all on the same. That doesn't mean every media channel or marketing team, not everybody has to have the same departmental KPIs, but as an organization, right, you need to have shared KPIs that align to your overall business objectives. You need to understand each other's departmental or team level KPIs and understand why they matter to a marketer, why top of funnel channels maybe don't have the same KPI as performance marketing channels that lower down the funnel, right? All those things need to be understood within the organization, kind of at the framework level. And then you also need to have shared processes in place to make sure that your data, that at the level of data collection, so your taxonomies, the way you build campaign taxonomies, and the way you ensure that when you're trafficking media buys, that the actual click-through URLs and other areas where you add metadata in your media platforms, right, that's all needs to be consistent and done correctly across the board for all of your measurable media. What I've just outlined is just on the media side. And similarly, for all of the kinds of behavioral data you want to collect, custom events from your websites and apps, all of the kind of enriching data, I'll use GA4 naming for a minute, but right, you have all of the custom events that represent behavioral interactions, and then you enrich those events with event parameters. So this is additional context variables or metadata about those events or metadata about users. All of that needs to be consistent and well-defined to end up in your data systems in a well-defined and clean way. So that data is going to then percolate into Google Analytics or Adobe Analytics. It's going to end up in your data warehouses, right? If you're using GA4, it's going to end up in BigQuery. You may be sending that on to data systems downstream further. It may also end up in your CRM, your CDP, right? So any flaws at the start of that process are just going to percolate through that system, right? If you, and this can amount to very simple things, like, for example, having special character, like say if you know, product name or a product category. If you sometimes include encoded special characters and sometimes you include unencoded special characters in your data layer, okay, you've now just fragmented your data, right? You're gonna have that data is gonna be now you're gonna have two versions of every product or product category that has special characters in it. You're gonna have two, you're gonna now be cutting that data in half essentially and splitting it, right? And then somebody's gonna have to go and clean that data. That's just a very simple example. So any problem at the front end is gonna cause problems at the back end of that process. And then the question becomes like how bad is the problem? And what is its impact on your ability to one, generate analysis and insights from that data, two, like use that data for activation? Are you creating data-driven segmentation and using those audience segments for suppression and targeting? You know, trying to build lookalikes in a third-party platform. So anytime you're erroneously fragmenting data more than it should be, right? You want enough, right? Segmentation relies on slicing data meaningfully, right? But if you're slicing data erroneously before you try to slice data meaningfully, that's a problem, right? Because you may or may not be unifying that fragmented data before you get to the analysis point. And so again, the models you build or the simple kinds of queries and analysis you might be running, you will in all likelihood be, you know, generating less than optimal insights and actions if you are not clear that you're using clean data. Oh, that's a mouthful. What do you think so far? Now, are foundations important?
I mean, our foundation's important. The question is very, very tricky. I'll tell you why. Now, every business wants to get double-digit ROI from the first day of any project that they do. And they often collapse or often crash because they miss the foundational completely. And the thing I think I would ask you and I would like to highlight on is, are foundational actually supposed to get you any ROI, or are they just the basis that we build to get ROI? Because I'll tell you the two sides of this coin. So the first side would be that businesses definitely know that they want to build foundations, but they also want to get ROI. And sometimes they either rush the foundations or do it improperly, and it often crashes in their face. But when they work with an external partner or an agency, they think that, you know, this agency or external partner is taking too long in the foundationals because they want to get more money, or they want to, you know, spend more time not having to show any results or ROI. And it causes a little bit of fraction between what the business wants and, you know, what the agency or like external partner or even the internal partner. And, you know, I can count, I can't count how many times businesses have cut projects that have not made them ROI because they were still in the foundational basis, and they're just like, yeah, this is not working. Let's kill it. And it definitely sucks, because I think that businesses need to understand why the foundations take time, but also what's maybe the expected time frame, so they are not getting cheated out of their, let's say, money if they're working with an external partner, or feeling that they took too long in the foundationals. So I want to highlight this part because I feel like, as we are an agency that works in the digital transformation, and we know this firsthand. So I think that more and more businesses should be aware, even if they, for their own sake and the sake of their internal teams, if they had, even if they have internal teams, the foundationals is not a skippable part, but it's also not an endless loop. So I
Right.
think that
No,
we should
it's,
highlight this.
yeah, no,
Me
that's,
too.
you've teased out a number of different topics there, and I appreciate that. I think, let me see if I can break it down into a few things that you said that caught my attention, back at the start, right? So, yes, a lot of organizations, they expect, or at least at the leadership level, sometimes people expect a return. I mean, everybody should expect a return on investment, or otherwise you shouldn't be doing the project. But people often have unrealistic expectations on the time scale at which they're going to see that return, right? So there is this kind of rush to realize the benefit of a new tool, a new channel, whatever that is, right? And I've seen, I mean, and rushing is one of the biggest reasons why the foundations get missed. I'll give you just a couple of examples that I wasn't directly involved with, but like in the recent past that I've heard, that, and I've seen the data, so I know these were actual, like, real issues. But one I heard from an ad sales rep at one paid social media platform, and their advertiser actually accidentally tagged and trafficked all of their campaigns in social media platform A. That it tagged them with all the tags for a different social media platform, B. And so, and we're talking about a big campaign with lots of spend and potentially lots of conversion activities. And so, therefore, all the spend was happening in social media platform A, but social media platform B was getting all the credit for the traffic and the conversions. Do you think that's a very easy situation to assess the return or optimize your paid social media campaigns for either platform, A or B, right? Not a good situation to be in. I had a an agency, a performance marketing agency that I had a chance to work with, just advising on some data, and their team trafficked a bunch of display and video campaigns and programmatic, essentially, across a variety of formats. And they had a conversion page. It was a lead form submission page. The success event was form submissions, as you might expect. But for a 60-day period of time, they were actually tracking the every time that that page loaded, they were firing a floodlight tag for their media container versus every time the form was submitted. And they
Oh.
were reporting those results to their client. And after a little while, so obviously, so investment in that campaign was growing because the results were so great. But at the same time, after a little while, the client said, "Well, we're not really seeing that volume in our lead, in our actual database. Why, can we dig into this?" So that ended up
Ouch.
being a big hit on your business insurance when you had to remunerate your client on the ad spend associated with that, right? So, again, I'm not calling anybody out. I'm not going to name any names. That's not what this is about. It's really about an example of how a found like literally tagging a conversion action incorrectly, an easy mistake. Anybody who's in a hurry, overworked, or if you simply have a dud employee who doesn't care, like there's a whole bunch of factors that could cause that. It could be as simple as just you're a human being with too many things on your plate. You made a mistake. You didn't have the right process in place where a second set of eyeballs would have caught your honest mistake, right? There's a whole lot of foundational things that could have fixed that before it happened. Similarly, on the ad operations side, tagging URLs for social media platform A as though they're social media platform B, if you have the right checklists in place for campaign trafficking, again, a quality assurance could have caught something like that, right? Or there are tools in the marketplace like a Clarivine, which are not cheap tools, but the campaign, tracking taxonomy and tracking templates that they build for their customers, they are self-validating, tools. They won't let you traffic incorrect URLs. They do end up paying for themselves in many cases. So again, those are two very simple examples. Those are mistakes that are so easy to make, and they're foundational. And it doesn't matter. Like, you can have the best DSP in the world, you can have the best ad server in the world. You can be spending $10,000 a month, or you can be spending $10 million a month, and the net effect is going to be the same. It's garbage in to your system, and therefore it's garbage out of your systems, right?
Exactly.
And and at that point, not only are you probably not realizing the ROI that you hoped for, you actually can't effectively measure what that ROI is, right? So you're faced with two problems. You're not able to optimize your system, and you're not really able to properly assess it in the first place. So you almost have to start that process again. You almost have to, assuming you're still committed in the campaign or the program, you need to kind of start again with good data now, go through the ramp up process again, and then start assessing, right? I think so your original sort of prompt here, now I guess it generated a couple of thoughts in my mind. One is, again, very simple problems cause big issues in the data. Rushing, so having inappropriate time scales amplifies the risk of introducing these problems in the first place. So people should understand, like digital transformation type projects that really are aimed at enhancing digital maturity, you should plan on 6 months at a minimum to see the light of day of those projects. But even what seems like a fairly straightforward, like one-off and ad hoc incremental type project. And I think in the next episode, we're going to talk about distinguishing between those. But like even just like a one-off incremental prod, like tech maturity type project, it's not, most of those aren't happening in a week. Like, you will occasionally find some low-hanging fruit to, turning on this feature or integration or thing. Well, of course, some of those things don't take a lot of time and effort. But I mean, something onboarding one new tool to support one particular kind of business or marketing objective. Maybe you can get the license, maybe you can negotiate the license for the tool over a couple week period of time, and then you're going to have to activate that tool, train your team, go through a ramp up period, right? Validate the data and integrations, get enough data into the system so that it, if it's a tool that does any kind of optimization, has any kind of embedded ML AI type optimization capabilities, it's going to need probably 30 days worth of data minimum before it starts meaningfully optimizing things. So whatever ROI you thought you were going to get, you have got to plan for a ramp-up period in which it's costing you productivity for your team members. It's costing you an investment in the startup costs of getting the tool onboarded and active, right? Fully ramped up. And then, if you're lucky, 90 days in, you're seeing kind of more optimized performance, maybe 60 days, let's call it 60 days on the and under in a really good case scenario. And then 90 days, sure, 120 days better, 180 days even better. But everybody, when we're doing new things and bringing new tools and processes into the mix, everybody needs to plan on realistic expectations around realizing those returns. To the extent that you don't, and then you start rushing people and pushing hard, where processes get short circuited, best practices get potentially short circuited, that's where foundations don't get done properly. So it's really important. And there are also ways. So another foundational element, I was talking about like taxonomy, tagging, measurement frameworks. Another foundational element is how do you actually expose that data? So in the context of on the media side, you have a variety of different ways, but most of them rely on having some form of a consistent taxonomy and tagging or slash auto tagging methods for tracking that media. You may or may not have a kind of a centralized media measurement platform, which could also be your ad server, so like a Campaign Manager 360, a Flash Talking, et cetera. But on the behavioral measurement side, it's like, how are you going to expose that data in the first place to get into your analytics, into your CDP, some of it into your CRM, right? A data, in this day and age, most people are using some form of a data layer, right? So it's, again, that's a foundational element that people should be focused on, your data layer. In your data, you want your data layer to have like all of the data that you need to be pushing into downstream data destinations. And you can do that in different ways. But ultimately, right, you need the custom events, all of the context variables for those events, users, user properties, exposed in a way that it can be either ingested into something like a tag management platform, right? And then from there, sent on to data destinations or into a tool like a Segment, which is both a a tagging system, but also a CDP. So bringing that data into, say, a Segment and then onto your data destinations, into a tagging server. So like a server side, a server-side data collection methodology, which could be Google Tag Manager server side. It can be a tool like MetaRouter. It could be a number of different platforms, but you still need to expose that data within your web and apps to be available to be collected, right? And you need to do so in a way that is privacy and consent conscious, that is data security conscious. So you do not want to inadvertently create data leaks of, let's say, unencrypted sensitive data, right? I mean, not only is that wrong thing to do with a customer's data, it also exposes you to a great deal of risk on the litigation and brand trust erosion, all of the, every time there's a major headline of violation of people's privacy rights and data breaches and things of this nature, it doesn't, it's not a good look for the industry for sure, right? And yet somehow we need to expose data that we're allowed to and that we have consent to. We need to expose that data so that it can be collected into downstream data systems, right? And that, so I had talked about, do you expose a product category or a product name, right, with encoded special characters or unencoded special characters, right? Okay, so this is where the data layer is a key factor, right? So if that data, this array of variables, essentially, right, the data layer, if you can't find a way to populate that data consistently, that is a foundational problem that trickles down into all of those data systems that use that one source of data points, right? So that would be an area to focus. Like before you get too excited about all of the cloud-based analysis and insights you want to do and modeling you want to do and media analytics, spend a few minutes or more like a few months getting the getting that foundational gold mine, your data layer, right. And it's not just making, and again, it's not just making sure are all the variables there that you want other data systems to have. It's, are you populating it correctly, consistently, securely, all of those things, right? So this is a huge kind of a foundational element. I mean, I mean, oftentimes I wish clients would get to us earlier in that process for some of those foundational elements, because like sometimes it feels like really simple data, and in a way it is. They're just variables. Essentially, like key value pairs is all we're talking about here. But it's amazing how frequently those key value pairs are not implemented in a way that is producing quality data because of some of those just simple issues, inconsistency, unreliability, introducing data leakage, whatever it may be, right? So again, that foundation, I don't think you or I would think of, oh, your data layer, you're such a digitally mature organization because your data layer is so pretty, right? And it's so cool. And yet it enables, a well-constructed and consistent and validated data layer, and it actually does enable a lot of really cool stuff, right?
They do,
Downstream.
yeah.
And the flip side of that is the garbage in, garbage out scenario. So if you're populating your data layer with garbage, all of your data downstream systems that rely on that data probably have garbage as well.
Okay, so let me ask you this, and this will be the last question in this episode. How do you, as a business, ensure that your foundation, like your foundation, is built right when you rely on an external partner or an agency or stuff like that, and they're not doing a shitty job or not building the foundations to your liking, or like taking too long without actually needing to take this long just to maximize profit, or shady stuff like this. So how do you, as a business owner, ensure that your foundations are being taken care of in a timely manner when you're working with an external partner?
I mean, I mean, one, every organization has to decide for itself, like, what balance it wants, right? Between sort of like risk and reward, and what's good enough from a data quality standpoint. That said, right, I think we all agree the better the data, the better. So I think it comes down to process in terms of whether you're working with an external agency, your internal teams. I think you do have to kind of take ownership of your own data quality and say, insist on processes that mitigate the risk of that poor data and poor foundations. So I'm not telling people how to write their own contracts, or I'm not a lawyer, but there's nothing stopping you, for example, from building into your SOWs, MSAs with your agency partners that you won't pay for improperly trafficked media. So if they mistag things, if they don't track, if they don't do some agreed upon measurement and taxonomy and tagging processes, you're not going to pay for it, right? So there's ways to build it in contractually, but one way or another, whether there's any contract, like whether there's any stipulation around this or not, it comes down to processes, right? So have you taken the time not just to build your data layer, but to fully validate it? Not fully validate like a 5-minute job, like did all of these variables populate, but like did you go through either through an automated tool or through, just the elbow grease it takes to do a good job? Did you validate like multiple use cases, values that have encoded character, special characters, values that don't have special characters, multiple products. You need to try enough scenarios so you can sort of see, enough sort of use cases to know, and you should be prepared. I mean, I think early in the cycle, you're probably going to catch some errors that make it into production. That's not, I'm not saying everything's going to be 100% from day one. You can't probably effectively, sort of check for everything, but you can use the appropriate layers of, right? Like the person who does the work isn't the person who checks and validates the work. A change in your data layer doesn't go to production until it's been, before it passes this QA process, right? And is signed off on. Alerting mechanisms for unexpected data in production so you can catch those errors earlier. Again, on the campaign side, right? You can use automated tools that will not, as long as you have your builder templates set up correctly, it won't let you traffic an incorrect tracking URL, right? It will make sure that the page itself loads of success is an actual working page. There's a bunch of validation that can happen in your tools before you ever traffic it. If you're going to use manual processes, spreadsheets, again, don't have the person that built the campaign build sheet be the one that checks the campaign build sheet, right? Because if I'm scanning your work, this is a, you've told me this is an online video by, target with certain targeted audience, like this is the campaign name, these things. So I haven't built this, so I have no dog in the race. So I'm actually just going to be looking for consistency, right? Whereas you've been working on this thing for a week and you're ready to push it into the platform and just be done with it. I don't really have any dog in the race, so I'm just looking for inconsistency, consistency, or something that if I'm using a tool that is going to be flagged, said this is where, you said you were going to be buying via the trade desk, but this tagging says, the campaign name has something which suggests a different platform, right? Or whatever, right? Yeah, somebody should be looking at these things. It
I
comes down to
guess, yeah.
process. If how much
Yeah.
do you want to invest in having good data and good
It's process and
foundations?
QA.
Yeah.
Process and QA.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah. And balancing and understanding. I mean, have a little bit of humility and or a lot of humility and understand that the goal is perfection. The reality is it's not going to be perfect, but you're going to get as close as you reasonably can by good processes.
Definitely.
and
I mean, good
avoid, yeah, and
process.
avoid care, yeah, avoid careless mistakes, avoid rushed mistakes, avoid lazy mistakes, or I'll call them mistakes in judgment, right? We need to get this live, so we had five things we wanted to do, but we need to get this live, so we're just going to do these two things, or avoid lazy miscalculations and judgment.
Sounds good. I think this is more than enough for people to not just work on their foundational, but also when working with an internal team or like an external partner, what to look for and how to make sure that they're getting, you know, the best deal and getting the most done per dollar, like per project or per whatever they wanna track. And I definitely think companies should have good processes for QA, for implementation, for execution, for a QA itself. They should have the foundations start with a good process. So I think this is such an such a great way to end our episode. And I think we'll see you in the next episode.
Sounds good, my friend. Good.
Good. Bye bye.
Bye.
And that's a wrap for this episode of the Digital Disruption Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into the world of digital transformation and gained valuable insights to help navigate the ever-changing landscape. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future episodes, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us on our website, esens.com, or connect with us on social media. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and stay tuned for more exciting discussions on the forefront of digital innovation. Remember, the future is now, and it's time to embrace the power of transformation. Thanks for listening, and until next time.